Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Yes, it is Dom time. Thanks to everybody who came out yesterday, everybody that was on the air and all the rest of it. The next time we have an event like that, remember, it was incredible. You'll want to be there. There will be more because there's so much stuff going on. I want to start with Scott Presler. This is Cut 12. Presler there yesterday. We didn't know the CNN interview. It was at least 8 to 10 minutes, it seemed, that they had Scott Presler on, that was going to be happening. Otherwise, I would have asked a lot more about it. But Scott Presler, I think, handles this in the way that all conservatives, all the people on the Trump side, should handle the media. In other words, he didn't run away from CNN. He didn't get into a shouting match with this woman at all. Now, I know some people like that. They think that's what this means. We're going to have good times now, and we're going to engage in that. I don't know that that helps you to win. Scott Presler wins. Yesterday, he had to leave early because he was headed to New York about a book deal. And not sure that he wants to do it. He knows some of the stuff. I encouraged him. I want him there, and I want him there for a big book and a Politics and Pints, without a doubt. But we'll see what he decides to do. Jim Worthington, our host, was unbelievable at facilitating stuff. And during the campaign, you knew his role. Linda Kearns, on the spot, just incredible with any kind of legal information and really had the tough job of convincing so many listeners, hey, vote by mail. That's what we have to do to win. I'm on the job, voter integrity. And she brought Joe DeFelice, who was in charge of doing that in Philadelphia. And one of the nuggets from yesterday, DeFelice told us that they had over 1,000, I think it was 1,076 precincts, poll watchers, and they filled every one of them in Philadelphia. That's remarkable. That's how you win. It's not complicated. It's just, do you want to do that? So here's winning, in my view. Scott Presler, they sent this one woman who does longer reports out to follow him when he was over in Bucks County. Now, the story today on Bucks County is that Facebook said, where I write, Delaware Valley Journal, their article talking about people going nuts, and rightfully so, at the commissioner's meeting, didn't meet community standards and was taken down. I don't know if you've heard that or not yet. Ridiculous, right? In Montgomery County, the Mr. Softy truck guy came out and was jawing with people that showed up there to take him on. Almost laughing at the idea that he's an election denier. Well, he absolutely is, and so is his stooge over there. Maybe he ought to join up with Diane. They would make quite a duo. We had Dave Sunday on. And Dave Sunday, the attorney general, talked to me about when he gets into office. He didn't promise anything. He couldn't. I mean, that would be dereliction of his duty. But we talked in broad terms about what he thought, what Marseglia did, and the possibility of at least investigating it. Now, I know people get antsy. How did she get away with this? I hear you. Henry, just remind, I'll play President Lamont, because I want to make a point here. One of the reasons she gets away with it, I didn't do it too much yesterday because it was a fun, it was a spectacular review of everything that happened and what goes forward. But these Republicans, would you take this name down, Henry? Representative Hogan out in Bucks County. Let's see, but come on. Today, whenever he wants, today, tomorrow, Friday. He was quoted in one news report saying, well, we couldn't go for impeachment because Democrats control the House. Now, I'm going to make a big point of this today and coming up. Who cares? In the Trump years, it's about not accepting this. You just can't accept what Diane Marseglia did. Now, whether it violates election law, whether it's election interference, that's a bit unclear. But not even going for impeachment on this? Well, they're Democrats. I know they control by one vote. They don't have a majority of a million. You mean to say they still don't get it? So, guys, yeah, we want to get him on. I'm not going to grow. I just want to hear him. You'll hear his side and you'll hear mine. Guy Shiraki, sitting right next to me yesterday, made the point. Of course you have to pursue impeachment. Of course you have to do that. Well, what if we lose? You lose. Make her go through her paces. Make her explain. Make Democrats stand up in front of the world and say, yep, nothing to see here. Because in the future, if they make some noise going after a Republican, we have this to point to. I didn't want to get into that too much yesterday. When you have an event like that, it was golden yesterday. What people don't get, the fun of talk radio. Dan and a listener, thank you, Mike of Ambler. Dressing up as a bear. You know what? That's even had the bear claws. Then I couldn't beat a bear in a race. Get a bear out there to the neck. That bear won't last. I want a longer race. I don't think the bear can go too far. All right. And bringing a football, which that football, we have, that's perfect. I didn't even have to put any stickum on. I threw a beautiful 30-yard pass right into.
Oh, you threw a 10-foot pass and almost took a woman's head off.
That was the first one. Right to Jim, and Jim is not exactly the tallest wide receiver there. I had to really put that on the money. I wow. shouldn't have done the second one because it was getting kind of wild.
What quarterback blames his receivers, Don? You know,
well, Dave of Somerset knows he could have dove for that ball. He could have made a decent catch.
He also could have, you know, placed it on his chest.
Yes, well, by the second one, I was a little bit thinking maybe I shouldn't be thrown over top of a woman's head. On the first one, it was just spontaneous, and I had a clear route. I fitted into a very small window there.
Smart idea, huh?
This is all up. You can see. I hope Kirk got that. I know he had a lot of pictures. I hope that's up on the video. We want to freeze frame that and put that up there forever so that people can see that form. 40 yards is doable with that ball. That ball had perfect feel to it. It was broken in.
I think it was a smaller than usual.
It was smaller than usual. That's fine.
Not regulation.
That doesn't matter. There's no regulations in this. It's all just a question of, is it 40 yards or not 40 yards? And right there on the stage with me was Scott Presler. Here is Presler. Again, we could play you a lot of this. You probably have already seen it. This is the core. Presler talking about the idea of how to handle this. Here's lesson one.
I notice that when you urge people to action,
yes,
you often include the word
peacefully.
Is that to avoid another Jan 6 type?
With all due respect, it's to avoid people like you guys saying that I'm anything but. My motto is to just be super cute, have my data and facts, treat everyone with love and respect, and as you can see, an army of people will follow.
All right. Could you put it any funnier? I mean, he does it. He's a character. I mean, and we met the woman from the main line, Myrna, who I saw out there in the middle of Kensington. She told me she drove a Mercedes there and she drove it to there yesterday. And she's asking him about how to knock on doors in Gladwin in the middle of the chaos where when I pulled in, they had to move these giant orange barriers to let my car get in there. So it was quite a, what happens at these events? It's everybody in the world that you've heard. Daryl of Tacconi, Gary was there, and of course, Robert of Bensalem.
That was awesome seeing Robert there.
Yeah, that's the first, I only saw him afar from before. As soon as I heard his voice, it's one of the most distinctive voices, and I could see that it fits him, but I thought he was like a bigger.
Yeah, I was expecting a guy who was like 6'5".
Yeah, you know? Based on the voice.
Big
the
belly
voice
and beard.
Yeah, the voice projects unbelievably. So we're going to be joined by Stephen Moore. Now, this tariff stuff, I'm going to go in agnostic to this. I think this is Trump just using the tariffs to threaten these countries to comply with border security, fentanyl, not letting the border be overrun. With China, though, it's about their practices. That's the one, the 10% on China that might actually go on. Now, I don't think Stephen Moore is a, quote, tariff guy overall. I think he thinks the same thing, that this is not going to be forever, because economically, you could argue that would raise prices, and Trump wants to get those prices down as quickly as possible. I talked yesterday about this CBS poll, 60% of people saying they're on board with the Trump transition. And in there, the numbers were in the mid to high 80s of people on board with the tariffs. You know, people want America to push back against all this stuff. The only thing is, though, as destructive it is to the other country to put them in place, it also harms potentially the country that's putting on the tariff as far as higher prices. Now, we've seen this before. Can you calibrate those? So Stephen Moore speaks pretty specifically. I want you to hear a guy very specifically, though, not just boilerplate, tariffs, etc. This is going to be a big deal to Trump. And it's got tremendous upside, but it's got downside that you should hear about. You just don't say tariffs and we win. Now, the president of Mexico has already said they're going to increase efforts. She's saying that on paper to prevent some of this stuff. I don't even know why we have to threaten Mexico with this. I just think the Trump policy, you stay in Mexico. I think that's all that we needed to do. Sign that the first day, and you're going to see they're not going to get across the border. With Canada, I'm not sure if that's just pushback on Trudeau's policies. The China tariff is the one that might actually stick here and might actually get us into a back and forth, that we were into this before with China. So are you in that camp? It feels good, doesn't it? Tariffs. Finally, somebody doing something. But you know what the downside could be. So Stephen Moore here at 12:30. We hope to talk with Matt Rooney at 2 o'clock, because the attention of the world now will turn to the Jersey gubernatorial race. This is going to be nuts, particularly on the Republican side in the primary. And there we have Ed Durr, who I know listens many days. Ed, feel free to call in. You know, tell us how you're, you know, he just doesn't have the money and traction at this point, but he would fit the MAGA role. The other two candidates that are, I'm not even counting the alleged Republican, the one guy, I'm not even going to say, but you got Politico quoting Matt Rooney today, big article about this race and who's going to line up with whom between Chitterelli and Spadia. Chitterelli, I know what the charge is not trumped up enough, or ever. Spadia, the charge is, can't win. Too radical for New Jersey. This is very winnable. This would be a just moment that could unleash Jersey back to some degree of normalcy. And for a lot of our listeners, even if they're not in Jersey, you know, after the reign of Phil Murphy, and even if you're not in Jersey, just seeing this play out is something that is infuriating. All right, great side question, sort of suggested by Henry today, looking at the news. And today, Henry, is good grief Charlie Brown Day, good grief day, right?
Yeah. So it's Charles Schulz's birthday, so okay. It's good grief day as well.
Okay, so we're looking for catchphrases, something that I don't think we ever did. I don't remember doing it in exactly that way. Remember, it's all in the telling. That's what we're looking for. So I'm going to take off my favorite. Yeah, they used it so, I just saw it the other day, three times in one show. That's what she said from The Office. Is just beautifully done. Jim particularly egging him on when the bosses are there. Now you don't want to say that, you know, and bang.
Can I start slipping some That's What She Said into the Dom show?
Sure, that's on you. I had nothing to do. I didn't do anything to make you do that.
There are multiple times, Don, where you say questionable things that could make it. That's what she said that I have to hold my tongue on, you know?
Feel free to do that.
I'm jumping in on this, too. I'm getting both of you.
Yeah?
Okay. Henry, what's yours?
Yeah, so I got two here. So from the movie Tombstone in 1993, Val Kilmer's character of Doc Halliday says this phrase twice.
That's just my game.
Go back a little bit. Yeah, time's
up. Slugs. Don't any of you have the guts to play for blood? I'm your Huckleberry.
Yeah, exactly.
He says that at the beginning of the film, he says it at the end, and I think it's an awesome phrase. And then the other one I have is from the show How I Met Your Mother, from the very popular character Barney.
Audience, say it with me. Legendary.
It's legendary.
Legendary.
So
okay,
that's his whole catchphrase, and that I think it's a great one.
Yeah, the I'm Your Huckleberry is beautifully done. I don't know if there was a third time there. I think there was only two.
I think it's at the beginning, at the end, by the trees and everything.
Yeah, exactly. And Val Kilmer's distinction, the only man Cher says who ever left her.
Yeah.
Val Kilmer. Mm-hmm. Go figure. All right, Dan, what's yours?
Bazinga!
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
It's such a bad catchphrase, but it's the only one I can think of recently in the past 15, 20 years that you see on shirts over and over again. You see the Bazinga shirts, like Hot Topic and all. You don't?
You're at Hot Topic?
Yeah, man. I still go to Hot Topic. I walk the malls. Yeah, I know. Well, I'm 35. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right. So,
stopping at Spencer's next?
Yes, actually.
There was a sports guy right when I left WWDB, and it was in like last days of the Roman Empire, who was a good catchphrase. When something happened in sports, they actually had a sports report, he would yell, Yada Hooda. It's kind of meaningless, but I never forgot that. Yada Hooda.
Yada Hooda.
Yada Hooda.
Yada Hooda.
He was from the Midwest or something. Yada Hooda. Yada Hooda. It doesn't have to mean anything. It's just, if it catches on, it catches on. That's a catchphrase. All right. Hit us at the end of the call with that. Are you on board with the whole tariff idea? And Scott Presler, is that the way to deal with the media and everybody else on the other side? I think it's incredibly effective. 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is just push pound 1210. All right. We've all been called uninformed yesterday, too, by Alec Baldwin.
R.I.P.
Yes, Alec Baldwin doing that. We'll play that for you here with Dom on Talk Radio 12.
What did I tell you guys at the beginning? Yes. No booing or hissing.
That was from the Governor Wolf debate. My God. All right, so catchphrase versus quote, though. Let's just be clear. Houston, we have a problem, I'd say, is a catchphrase, because people then use it in any circumstance. That's one of the things that makes it that way. A quote is usually longer, and how else would I distinguish it? I mean,
Over and over again. Like Barney in How I Met Your Mother says legendary probably once an episode.
Yes, it's shorter, right. And it's more...
it's part of their character.
Used, yes, and it's used more often than you would say a long or even a mid-range quote.
I mean, like Jimmy Walker's Dynamite.
Yes.
You know, every time.
Usually shorter.
Yeah.
Emeril Lagasse.
Really bad.
Yeah, exactly. So it's usually identified over a length of time. And that's what she said. It's not a quote of anything. You're not saying, as Martin Luther King said, you know, it's not anything like that. Doesn't need any setup. It's usually sillier. I'm trying to give as many things so we distinguish it. All right, let's go to Susan in Chester Springs on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Susan, welcome in.
Hi, Dom. I always love your show. I think Scott Presler is a hero, and I just hope that Trump finds some place for him, because he's amazing. He's amazing. Energy, effort, commitment, you just name it.
My point is the way he handles the media there. Notice it's not a diatribe. And it's making the point beautifully, waiting for the beat, says peacefully all the time just to do that. That skill versus just anybody can just avoid them, as some people do, or holler at them. This makes the point beautifully. It takes a lot of skill to do it. But I agree with you. I think he just needs the money to grow the organization. He's kind of an independent guy. You don't want to rein him in.
No. Well, we're donating to him. So.
Good. That's our effort. And I do hope he writes the book. The cover will look excellent. And mark down that politics in pints. I said to him yesterday, 6 months I give you. Finish the book. Come on.
Well, my answer for the side question is in honor of Joe Biden, because I use this phrase all the time, so do my friends. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Okay, definitely. Thank you, Susan. Good one. I think that's a catchphrase.
Sorts. I don't think so.
It is. It's not a quote. It's not. It's used in many contexts, not just to be quoting as someone. You
more
have
of
to
a explain. Saying then, though.
Yeah.
Than it is,
well,
a catchphrase.
Catchphrase. Yeah. Well, it's not exactly
take it judgment,
on. Yeah, it's not exactly on target, but. All right, give me a reaction to that. It was like an 8 or 10 minute thing. I was just texting with him when I happened to see it and got his immediate reaction. And he thought it was fine. I did too. Now, they'll try to stir up the January 6th stuff, which is dying down. Yesterday, you know, the big news during the show, we heard that dropping the Jack Smith case. We'll see what Trump does on the pardons. I'm going to predict. Trump is not going to pardon as many people as you think he would. And I'm glad about that. I think there are people that shouldn't be pardoned. Give me a case. Let me look at it. And I'll tell you whether they could be pardoned or not. Or commuted based upon time served, etc. Some of them should be pardoned. Others, no. What they did deserved a pretty stiff punishment. Now, are the punishments completely over the top in some instances? Yes. This is a case-by-case situation here. All right. So here is Alec Baldwin, so I don't forget, in Italy, Turin, Italy. This is Cut 15. Baldwin, and he was there. There
always were, be closing.
Yeah, that's right. That's a catchphrase. Yes, ABC, always be closing. That would be a catchphrase. What is that? What's the film?
Gary Glenn Ross.
Yes. First prize, you get whatever the monetary thing is. And second prize is Ginzu knives. And third prize, you're fired. So that was. But here's Alec Baldwin, genius, telling us the problem is, and he's alluding to this election, that Americans just are misinformed. They don't know anything about the world.
You might not learn from the news. Television news in the United States is a business. They have to make money. And again, not to go into great detail about that, but there's a hole, there's a vacuum. There is a gap, if you will, in information for Americans. Americans are very uninformed about reality, what's really going on.
So Americans are very ill-informed about reality, about what's going on, and particularly in the world. Alec Baldwin, can you imagine?
This is something I hear all the time. Like on Reddit, they're still going with this. Like the progressives, that this world that you live in isn't the reality. I think it's been proven through this election, Dom, that the reality that Alec Baldwin's living in isn't actually the truth.
Well, true, and I would even concede different people perceive things in different ways, but continuing to be in this bubble that you know better, because that's what it's about. You can say people perceive things in different ways, all right. That would be the liberal. That would be like Bill Maher to me. But the progressive view is delusional. It's antagonistic. It's looking down. It's scolding. It's the whole thing. And they've gained a good bit of control. And on the trans scoreboard, I didn't get into this yesterday because, again, it was a different type of day. On day one, President Trump may sign a bill removing anybody who has identified as transgender from the military. Now, on the one hand, I get this, that I never believed in the military, that this could be done and be an elite fighting force. This would create difficulty. I'll tell you my only reservation with this, and maybe there's a way to not be involved then in combat or in actual direct line of fire and all that stuff. And the reservation is, if someone is willing to serve in some capacity, that's a big step. You got to admire that. I just don't think there's troop cohesion by anything that we can tell if we're going down this path with people that are transgender. For obvious reasons, there's going to be tremendous difficulty with this. Is Pete Hegseth, if confirmed, really going to keep women out of combat? I'm not sure they're in combat now. It's kind of fuzzy. So he may do that on the first day as an executive order. But on the transgender front, what he has to do on the first day is put the full power of the federal government behind saying, no, we're not having boys or men in girls' sports, in women's sports. All right, 855-839-1210. Coming up, we're going to talk with Stephen Moore. We've talked with him about the book before, The Trump Economic Miracle. But I want to talk with him about tariffs. This is a CBS poll now. I think it was 87% of people favor this. Now, he's a free market guy. I think he's thinking like I am, that I don't really look at this as a big long-term strategy. But what do you do to break the ice, to have leverage with Mexico, Canada, China, particularly with China? Can that be done in a way that can be controlled? Can you calibrate that? Trump has said now the most beautiful word in the English language is tariff. He's been saying that for the last couple of weeks. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. Well, Thanksgiving is right on the doorstep, and whether you're hosting or going to gatherings, remember how much you can stock up on everything at Captain Chuckie's. We all know Captain Chuckie's is known for their fantastic crab cakes, wild-caught golf shrimp, and soups. Now Captain Chuckie's is teaming up with some well-known family-owned businesses to offer some great products. Captain Chuckie's and Marciano's Bakery of Philadelphia have now launched their newest invention. You get the Bang Bang Crab Cake and the Cheese Specialty Bread, available exclusively for now at most Captain Chuckie's locations. Captain Chuckie's also has a Taste of Philly section. Stores that carry the following family-owned items, and they're great names. Stock's Pound Cake, Marciano's Specialty Breads, Pierogies from the Pierogi Kitchen at Roxborough, hey. Chef Matt's Key Lime Pie, which Rose a big fan of, Derby's Family Famous Clams Casino, and also Vera Pasta Company. They're in Westchester. They produce Captain Chuckie's own line of pasta, including three different raviolis, their own lobster, banging crab, and finally their shrimp scampi ravioli. And they have their own jarred blush sauce. So that's a lot. Check out all that on the website. Find your local Captain Chuckie's for availability. One and only website, WeLoveCrabCakes.com. Go to WeLoveCrabCakes.com. And if you're headed to the shore, don't forget Captain Chuckie's is there too. Visit Captain Chuckie's at TheShore.com. All right, Dom Giordano show. President Trump it didn't get talked about extremely during the campaign. But at various points and toward the end, he started talking about tariffs. And yesterday on Truth Social, 25% Mexico, Canada, that about fentanyl and people coming through the border. The 10% on the Chinese, I think he said, not executing drug dealers. But I think that's a little bit more economic, maybe. Stephen Moore has been a top advisor over the years to President Trump. His newest book, The Trump Economic Miracle and the Plan to Unleash Prosperity Again, available wherever books are found. He joins us on Talk Radio 1210. Stephen, welcome back in.
Hey, Dom, good to be with you. It's been a crazy couple of weeks, and, I can't stop smiling.
Absolutely. Well, the CBS poll, I don't know if you saw it, one of the highest things that came out of what people want or that Trump is selling that they want, where the tariffs, now you're a free market guy extraordinaire. I think we've talked about this before. And I'm not enamored of tariffs. I get how Trump has used it in the past. Is this the same plan or is it a leverage thing?
A little of both, actually, I would say. And you never know with Trump. He's wily. Mm-hmm. he's a great negotiator. And so, in terms of the policy, and I'm like you, I'm a free trade guy. I'm not a big fan of tariffs. But he does use tariffs very effectively as a negotiating tool. And what he's basically saying, especially, I'm not sure why Canada is, by the way, involved in this. But we know why.
Trudeau, it's a shot at him, I think.
Yeah,
right?
He's not a big fan of Trudeau's.
Yeah.
But in terms of the fentanyl crisis, it's really Mexico and China where the drugs are coming in. And so And you know, I've talked to some of the experts on this, and you know, with a little bit of a heavy, it's not a heavy lift for China and Mexico to reduce that flow of these lethal drugs in the United States that are doing so much harm to our children and our teenagers and even young adults. And so I think that I think the ultimate, you know, ultimately the best solution here will be to have these countries cooperate.
Okay, well, let me ask. I differ with you a little bit. It wouldn't be hard for China. They could line people up, shoot as many as they want to, whatever. They don't want to. With Mexico, though, Stephen, I mean, I only broadcast out of there once, and that was enough within the mayor's office of Juarez. It is a heavy lift. They're afraid the narco state there will come after them, I think.
But that's the problem. I mean, look, I'm not disagreeing with you, but that's the problem. They've become a narco state, and we have free trade with an narco. I mean, they're going to have to make a choice. They have to either fight a war on these drugs, or they're going to not have the access that we have. And it's that simple. And Trump is playing some hardball with these guys. And by the way, I'm not disagreeing with you. You're right. They have allowed the drug warlords to take over too much of their economy. But we can't live with that. Literally and figuratively.
No, I agree. Well, I'm in favor of bombing them ultimately. Maybe that's we don't want to get down this road. I mean, DeSantis, I trust him on that. DeSantis isn't wily. When he tells you something, you know, take it to the bank. So Trump wants to get prices down pretty quickly. Is he more convinced now just opening up energy will do that? Wouldn't this add, if some of this goes through, and make it more difficult?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well,
what do you mean?
If we have tariffs here, how will prices go down pretty rapidly? And Trump desperately would want that.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. So, look, if you add a tariff is a tax, right? And taxes tend to get passed on to consumers. You're quite right about that. But what, you know, and I've talked to Trump about this, the strategy is to use tariffs as in other words, if you have, let's say, additional tariffs on China and Mexico, for example, and perhaps Canada, then the plan is to reduce the taxes on things that are made in Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan. So it's essentially a wash with respect to prices, because, yes, things that are coming in from China will cost more, but things that are produced in Pennsylvania will cost less.
Okay. All right. And you think, look, I get very nervous. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I know.
Here's why. And I'm talking to one of the most esteemed people to me that over 30 years that I've seen this. Once you start fooling around with saying, well, over here, this will balance that. We know the economy has its own will. Joe Biden and his geniuses should have realized you're not going to fool around with this. When you break it, it's big trouble.
Well, I mean, I think you make a good point. We don't want to unleash a major global trade war, everybody stops trading with each other. But on the other hand, all these other countries, you know, especially China, Mexico, they must trade with the United States. Their economies can't function if they don't have access to America's gigantic market. So, you know, we're banking on them being rational and saying, okay, well, all right, we are going to spend, you know, $100 million to help you keep the fentanyl out of the United States, because we need to do that, A, because it's the right thing for them to do, but B, because, you know, it'll hurt our own country more if we don't do it. So, well, look, I have to say, I've been around Trump now for almost 10 years, and he is one of the best negotiators I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to get this done, but, you know, but you make a good point. I mean, will they cooperate? I don't know, but I've seen in many instances where they have, you know, in his first term. And by the way, he did impose some tariffs in his first term on steel and things like that, and some of those policies I did not agree with. But we didn't have any inflation when Trump was president.
Exactly. Now, the other thing, yesterday we did a big event, Stephen, and people there, almost to a person, first 100 days, they want deportation. Some of them think, you know, and I think that's mistaken. Trump's not going to be deporting people with the military and all that. But the people that are on the deportation list, the criminals, et cetera, the downside, and I think this is crying wolf, are any number of pseudo-economists saying, oh, man, you think inflation? You start deporting these people, and you're going to see inflation skyrocket.
Well, I'm really torn. You're asking tough questions today.
Well, I got the perfect guy to do it. This to me, you know, I got to be on my game when we have Stephen Moore on. Come on.
Well, thank you. And that's why I love coming on your show. I'm trying to figure this out on my own head. Look, here's what I would do if the president, asked me. I think clearly, I mean, everyone agrees, unless you're a nutcase like, Kamala Harris or something, that we need to, anyone who has come into the country and they are a threat to our country, they've committed a crime in our country, they have a, criminal background, or they're on welfare and they're not contributing. We can't afford it. You got to leave. Right. Those people need to be deported. Now, the question I'm working on my mind, and I'm not sure I know the answer, is what about somebody who's come in, let's say from Mexico, and they're feeding their family and they're working in the kitchen or they're working in the fields and they're here illegally and there are millions in that case. Mm-hmm. Do we want to deport them? I think that gets messy. I think it gets ugly. I don't want to do that, really. I want to make sure that the people who are harmful to the United States are deported immediately. Well, it's three steps. First, secure the border immediately, right? And Trump will do that. So in other words, stop the flow.
Right.
Because why didn't Biden do that? In 4 years, he never even made an attempt to do that. Second, you find the bad actors, the people are the criminals and the drug runners and so on. You get rid of them. And then third, you have to have some kind of program for people who have been in the country. They came in illegally, but they're working. They're not a drain on our society. And maybe you require them to go back. And then you give them some kind of expedited, reentry or something. So that's where I think. I mean, people come to this country because they, want to work and, raise their family and make money. I mean, that's a good thing. It's people who come in and they want to go on welfare or they want all these benefits or they start committing crimes or other problems in the country. Those are the ones we don't want. Now, look, I understand. I know some of your listeners are saying, well, if you do that, then everybody's going to try to come
exactly.
in illegally. So I don't know. I'm struggling with this.
Well, I don't think you're going to have to worry about it for a while. It's 1.3 million that have overstayed their deportation. Taking them out is going to take a while. The criminal element, the national security element, and various other things, I would put it at a year and a half to 2 years before we get to the other question you're talking about. One other area, though, Stephen.
One other quick thing about this.
Yeah.
I think what you do with these, let's say there's 8 million. We don't even know. Let's say there's 8 million in this country who are, working, but they came in illegally. You put them on notice and you say, look, one thing's for sure. If you commit a crime while you're here or something, you're out of here.
Right.
And so, a kind of good behavior, put them on almost a probation. You see what I'm saying? And because you're right, we're going to start with the worst first, obviously. And it might be a year and a half. It might be 2 years. And then if you see that they should come forward, actually, and say, look, OK, I'm here illegally, blah, blah, blah. We have a program that we can deal with these folks.
The new Treasury Secretary, the guy is the first ranking member who's openly gay, I believe. Secondly, he's worked with various left-wing figures. I don't know that's his ideology, per se, as much as it was a job, an area to advise. What do you think of his policies? He seems to be okay with the tariff thing, as far as we know.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Scott Bessent. I was one of the people who was really the first people who sort of tried to sell Donald Trump on Scott Bessent. I think he's fantastic. I've known him for about 10, 12 years. I consider him a close friend, but he's a smart financial wizard. He's a he's not part of the Washington establishment. I'm sick of those kind of people. So I think was an excellent choice. You're right. He did at one point work for Soros, but he never agreed with Soros politics. He was just a money manager there. He's made a lot of money because he's a shrewd, smart financial guy. And I think that's what we need in Washington. And he's conservative. He is a conservative. Let's give this guy the benefit of the doubt. I think, and by the way, Trump, if you're not performing for him, in 6 months, you're out of there. Right? I mean,
he does
fire people. Isn't it amazing? Right? Biden, who had one of the most ruinous terms of president in history, he didn't fire a single person.
Trump wants to go back and fire the people involved with Afghanistan, which I can't tell with Biden and what they were being told to do, the generals, and what they did.
Yeah.
Hard to say.
Yeah. But my point is, I think, you know, if you're worried about, you know, like there's, I'm not wild about this labor secretary. I think she's much more, you know, some of her positions worry me, but, you know, I'm willing to give her the benefit of the doubt. And if she doesn't perform, you know, I guarantee you, because I did serve in his first term. I mean, you know, people got fired all the time. And that is, if you're not performing for our country and you're not doing what the president wants, he's going to get rid of you.
Well, you were on the short list, the Dom Giordano Show short list. So why not throw your hat into the ring?
Well, I always enjoy doing your show. And, you know,
that means if this guy doesn't work out, he's in the next room. Bring more in.
Next. Well, what I was going to say is, you know, congratulations to you. One of the reasons I've always loved, especially last year, doing your show pretty routinely, is, you know, you were a major voice that helped us win Pennsylvania. I said on your show 3 months ago, remember? Whoever wins Pennsylvania will win this election.
Exactly.
And I was right. So thank you.
Have a great Thanksgiving, Stephen. Thank you. The book, your newest, The Trump Economic Miracle. Thank you, Stephen, very much for joining us here on Talk Radio 1210. All right. A lot of folks want to get in. I didn't know that about the new Treasury Secretary. I thought he was unorthodox, a conservative, according to Stephen Moore, and somebody he pushed for. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Hey, this Thanksgiving, we are serving up epic football moments with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sports book. Because right now, new customers, you can get $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. The FanDuel app serves all the ingredients you need to place live bets, same game parlays, and so much more. Plus, when you win, you get paid instantly. Just visit FanDuel.com/Dom, D-O-M, to join today. Get started with $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/Dom. Make this Thanksgiving extra special with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 1210 WPHT. You have to be 21-plus, present in Pennsylvania. Visit online, real money wager only, $5 first deposit required, bonus issued, as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Dom Giordano's show. Catchphrases today. Charlie Brown Day, Good Grief Day. And your reaction to Stephen Moore and the tariff thing. We're pretty much on the same page about where this will go. And look, you're not going to see, at least given Trump's MO in the past, you're not going to see this as a military operation. This is going to be ICE, and they're going to call up more people around ICE. They're going to deputize local law enforcement that wants to do it in many areas. And they're going to take out these people that already have the deportation order. They're going to take out criminals in this country, the previous country, national security risk. And then we're going to come to a point, who knows how long that will take, a while, about what we do on the remaining front. Hopefully, you'll see a good bit of self-deportation. But I would tell you, Trump is going to avoid, when you use the military in these operations, these have to be more surgical than that. That always is what the other side is waiting for. So that may happen after a year or so, that we start to see moving on people that are just here illegally. You heard his answer to this notion that will drive up cost. We hear this all the time. The world's going to end if we go down this path. But it's clear that people have had it with this. They do feel overwhelmed. They do feel that there's people are just violating the law. By the way, to that point, we talked a lot yesterday at the event about Diane Marsaglia, and I was honest, to this point in time, she's gotten away with it. Yeah, but what about people who are angry with her? So what? The election's not to 2027. There has to be some other mechanism rather than just screaming at her that brings her into line for what clearly the reason it made so much news, she got it said and she means it. They were determined to do whatever they wanted to do. In Montgomery County, people went after the Mr. Softy guy yesterday at their commissioner's meeting for the very same reason, but he didn't say it in the manner that Marsaglia did. So we're going to hear from Representative Joe Hogan, or is it Tom Hogan? Joe Hogan. Joe Hogan, out in Bucks County. I saw him in the Inquirer. Now, maybe he knows something that I don't, but he said, they're going to leave it to the voters and law enforcement at this point. Now, you heard Dave Sunday with me yesterday. Is there a legal action down the road? We wait till January. If I thought that were the case pretty precisely, okay. I still think they ought to move on impeachment. This is impeachable. I'm glad he's coming on. He'll give us the other side. What would that do to the Republican position in Harrisburg if they went for impeachment? I mean, that seems to be between doing nothing and law enforcement the way to go. All right, let's go to Joe in Columbus on Talk Radio 1210, Columbus, New Jersey. Missed you yesterday, Joe. What's your catchphrase?
Dom, I wanted to be there. Believe me when I tell you that. Mine, I was informed, could possibly have a dual meaning.
Yes.
It could mean Indiana father, but mine goes back to the old, and I don't know where it originated, but I know where it picked up steam with the Red Sox-Yankee rivalry. Big Poppy,
yep.
Pedro Martinez, and Derek Jeter taking one deep. Who's your daddy?
Yeah, I think it was Martinez who said, yeah, the Yankees are my daddy, essentially.
Oh,
yeah.
Indiana
Big
father.
Poppy,
yeah.
Big Poppy started it with who's your daddy when they were gaining the edge.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Yankees had, that was a good one. So
good
that
one.
Was a good rival.
All right, Joe, have a good Thanksgiving if we don't talk. All right, coming up, big 1 o'clock hour, as I said, Representative Joe Hogan here at 1:30. We hope to talk to Matt Rooney. We'll take your calls, and I'll tell you what we want to talk to Matt Rooney about. This is going to be a heck of a Republican primary because the Republican stands an even money chance, I think, of winning the governor's race this coming year, 2025. It'll be one of the most watched in the country. That in Virginia, I think this is even bigger. Is it just a mirage? Is it just Trump that was able to break through? Could a Republican break through? Should they be like Trump? Should they try to do that? There's only one Trump. Think of the number of people that have tried to do that and what happens. People don't seem to pay attention to it. There's other factors with Trump. All right, 855-839-1210. Jump on board.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.